Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome, my dear listeners, to today's show of Let's Talk Life. I am your host, Khadija Mohammed, taking you through the next hour. Alhamdulillah, with the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are reaching the end of Ramadan. And how beautiful has our month been for us? We have reached the glorious day of Laylatul Qadr. We reached the glorious night of Laylatul Qadr last night, and we are almost towards celebrating the occasion of Eid in a few days' time, inshallah. But in keeping mind with all that, let us also try and remember those who are actually facing adversity during this difficult month. You know, now we have been faced for peace in Palestine. Let us remember them in our du'as, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of them. In keeping with the theme at Radio Islam this month, let's focus on the attitude of gratitude. And gratitude starts with noticing the goodness in life. A materialistic culture that encourages constant wanting and sees possessions as the source of happiness is not the most fertile ground for gratitude. And during this time of difficulty, gratitude always allows us to stay positive and thankful rather than allowing ourselves to be crushed by adverse circumstances. So let's show some attitude for gratitude. And when we give thanks for even our small blessings, we are granted with peace and abundance always. For the show, like I always say, this show is for you. It's about you. And we have an array of coaches that bring to the show content that you need to hear. So with that, I ask you, dear listeners, if there is any topic or informative content that you would like us to bring to you, please WhatsApp me on 067-848-50032. And with that, it takes me to the today's topic, where we are talking about love. Now, yesterday, people around the world celebrated the day of Mother's Day. And we know that in Islam, mothers are held in very high esteem. And Islam gives mothers a status greater than that can be found in any other religion in the world. So mothers are a blessing and a gift from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muslims are instructed to be kind, obedient, and gentle to both parents. And one should treat them with respect under all circumstances and obey them unless it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. And we should always know that the state of the mother in Islam is the most, it's the most highest position and commands to us as children to be grateful and respectful and kind and obedient to our mothers. So let us make Mother's Day every single day of our lives. Let us show our mothers that we have so much of love for them and we have so much of appreciation for them on a daily basis, and not just pick out a particular day to show it to them. Let us make it a Mother's Day every day. So with that, we're going to be moving on to our topic today, which is called love. And we're going to be talking about love. Let's talk love. And it's a very favorite topic, as we know, and it's one of our greatest emotions. It is a force of nature, but love is also complex. It's a mix of emotions and behaviors and beliefs associated with strong feelings of affection, protectiveness, warmth, and respect for another person. But there are also numerous elements to the word and the emotion of love. And for me, the most important one is to love yourself, to accept yourself, and to embrace the parts of yourself that you don't necessarily like about yourself. And this is an important lesson in how to love somebody else or someone else. And if you love yourself, you can be more generous with the love you give to others. You find yourself feeling more fulfilled and more loved than you could possibly imagine. You know, you'll find yourself smiling at the thought of whoever it is that you find that you love. And love means also seeing flaws and accepting them as positive traits. You'll feel a sense of completeness that you never knew that you were actually lacking in the first place. But because it's such a vast topic, let's get on the line with us today for our show, Super Coach Jamila Biko, who is also known as Mila B, to take us into the true meaning of love. Mila B is a super coach at Quantum Coaching, and she believes in the concept to transform, transcend, and transition. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome, Sister Mila B, to Let's Talk Life.
Wallahi wa barakatuh. You and your listeners, thank you so much for having me on the show, Khadija.
It's wonderful to have you on the show with us today, Sister Jabila. We actually have been waiting a long time to get to this interview, and alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us, and we are here today, and I'm happy to have you finally on my show.
Alhamdulillah.
Sister Jabila, let's just get straight into it. You know, love is thrown around as a word, and yet we're not taught enough how to define it. And the truth is, it means so many different things to so many people. What, in your opinion, is the definition of love?
Khadija, before I get to my opinion, let me just throw a question out there to your listeners. Just to make you understand the complexity and the vastness of the definition of love. So in five or less words, if I had to ask everyone to complete the sentence, love is dot, 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 I'm sure you can imagine you have at least 70 to 100 different definitions of love. So, I mean, Google's definition, or the commonly understood definition, is a profound, intense feeling of strong or constant affection for a person, a place, or a thing. So you can be a nature lover, or you can, you know, you can love the sport you're in. The definition is quite complex. The reason for each one of us having this personal, individualized definition is basically it has been mapped to us, you know, while we were between the ages of about 0 to 7 years old. When our experience of the world around us is built on the model or program with which we run on, and we use this every day in our lives. So it's basically the lens with which we perceive. So if you think of between 0 to 7 before we got to school, and I mean, we had a large amount of vocab where we could define things, so which was usually taught to us by our parents or the world around us. So if your mommy said, pick up your toys, and she pointed to the toys, we could say, okay, this object means toys, and then that's how we got definitions. But it became more complex when it came to emotions, because emotions are not things. You can't really see them. And those emotions are then defined by experiences. You know, you get hurt and your mommy says, oh, what happened? Are you sad? And then you take the feeling you're feeling at that moment in the experience, and you take the word she gave you, and you've attached those two, and now you've got a definition. So love for everybody would be different depending on the circumstances and the relationship and the home that they grew up in. Each one of us will define love in our own ways. So, you know, my love, my personal definition, I guess, is not so much, you know, the thing at the moment, the focus point. But what I want to go into is a bit more of the science of love also, you know, because science has got their own definition of how they can, you know, define love. So quantum physics teaches us that everything is energy, right? So from our thoughts, right up to matter, everything can be measured as a vibrational frequency of energy. So the things that are surrounding us, you know, whether it's our emotions, our thoughts, or the actual matter, which appears sometimes solid, can actually be particles and waves at the same time. So that's a bit of a complex theory. But that basically says it's the feeling is a vibrational energy. It's, the emotion is a state, an energetical state that we feel. That's what quantum science says. And then there's also the hormone responsible for the emotion of love. You know, and if everything starts with the thought and is then created into a physical something, then there's a hormone which is called oxytocin, and this hormone is released from the mind, and it's also called the love drug or the cuddle hormone. Usually it's released in abundance during childbirth, but this hormone is responsible for the mind actually sending out the signals to the body to feel the feeling or the emotion of love. So scientifically, that's how science would define love. I'm not, you know, saying like I'm a firm believer, but I know my take on science is that it's catching up with our faith. So, you know, it doesn't really prove anything. It's just it verifies facts for people who maybe doubt or need clarity. So that's why I wanted to go into the scientific aspect of love. Okay. But then I believe, my firm belief is that love is a verb, not an adjective so much in terms of a descriptive thing, but more verb. So it would be an action, you know, where generally people think of love as a passive experience that you fall in love. For me, however, the more apt definition would be an active experience, you know. Love is a verb, I believe that it's not like in big actions that we do occasionally, but rather in like consistency of everyday actions that we express, and then we build on that love. So, for me, love is not so much tangible, but rather it appears like in endless amounts of forms. It only needs to be recognized.
And I think it's a basic human emotion, you know, just like happiness or anger. I think love is just a basic human emotion that we just need to embrace.
Absolutely. Love, you know, there's this thing where, like you say, basic human need. Besides the physiological needs that we have, it's definitely an emotional need. And that need as well is kind of from when we were kids again. It will always go back to that. At birth, you know, as mammals, as humans, as mammals, if we had to take a baby and just, you know, had given birth and left the baby, the baby would die. So the baby does need the affection, it needs love, it needs attachment. And that is then a basic human need, 100%, when it comes to the emotional needs, you know, basic needs of humans.
Yeah. I think love, being an attachment, is something that each and every one of us actually carry with us. You know, it's a sign for us that we're needing to be with another person and desiring that physical contact and approval. But at the same time, also, you know, there are other aspects of love. If it, what is actually the expectations and some of the expressions of love?
Okay. You know, the expectations of love is a strong one, because that is, when you're talking about romantic love, so again, we have many types of love, right? So I think in total it's about 70 different types of love. Yeah, which is a lot. So I think today we maybe just cover a couple of the few, which would be romantic love, which is obviously with a spouse or significant other. Then you have your familiar love, which is with your siblings or parent-child love, and then obviously self-love, and then ultimately, you know, higher love, which is what I want to definitely, you know, seeing the time of the month and where we are at. It's definitely the biggest need that we have as humans. But in terms of expectation is definitely the biggest, suction of love. It takes away a lot, because as soon as you have expectations, then you set yourself up for disappointment. So rather than saying expectation, I like that you asked about expressions of love, because that will now bring me back to saying that love is a verb, you know. And once you become aware of the manner of expression of this emotion, you are then open to acceptance of the love that you are receiving in your space. And then at the same time, you can reciprocate the love to someone else. You know, now you are also able to start practicing it, practicing this action, whatever the action is, because each one will have their own definition of how they want to feel love or how they express. And then that will bring us to the different languages, love languages that people have. And they will then either express and receive love according to their languages, you know, the love languages that they identify being for themselves.
You know, maybe we can actually go a little bit into the different love languages, and you know, that you mentioned self-love, and even that you would like to speak about love to and from our higher being, which is our creator. We can actually delve into that, inshallah, a little bit later in the program. But maybe if you could just give us a little bit briefing on what are actually ways that we can experience love, or what are our love languages?
Okay, so the love languages, if you see how we experience the world around us, it's generally through our senses, right? So we experience our surroundings, our sensory intake, and similarly we express them also through our senses. So we'll speak, we'll see, we'll say, but most of the time we have a dominant sensory language, which means that a sensory intake. So predominantly we could be visual, which means the first thing the person needs to be, they need to look right. Some people, it doesn't just matter the way you look, other things play a bigger part. Some people have an audio thing, so it doesn't matter what a person does for them, but it's what they say. They need their constant validation. They need to hear, I love you. It's about the things you say here and that's communicated to them. That's the intake of love language. Then you have the kinesthetics, which are feely people. They just want hugs, and they just, that's the way of validating love, to say, I will hug you, I will, it's all about, let me give you a massage. You'll notice that a lot with our kids. I know my kids are all different, so the one is very, mommy can give you a massage, mommy can, hold my hand. So that's, when you're able to identify, especially with our kids, it's a nice way to identify from a younger age what their primary sensory intake is in love language, so then we can then express our love towards our kids as well, so that that it's effectively communicated to them. The other one is analytical, so things need to make sense to them. That's basically the intakes. But each one, when you are able to understand what the other person wants, I know, like an example, I can give you. So, between husband and wife, right? So husband and wife are having issues, and go to the counselor, and the counselor says, what's the matter? And she says, he comes home, the husband comes home, he's cold, he won't give me a hug, he doesn't make eye contact, and, she's, that's her complaint. And the husband, on the other hand, he comes home, and his complaint is, I go to work the whole day, I put food on the table, I give her everything she wants, she's ungrateful. So this is the issue. But when you actually come down to it, it's just a language, because she's a K. So she wants to be held, and she wants to be validated in that way, where the husband's analytical, so it makes sense to him. If I go to work and put food and I do all these things, that's me showing that I love you. And for her, she just wants a hug, and that shows her that he loves her. And then it's just a difference of communication. So in that kind of a case, if the couple can just sit down and do most probably coaching or something like that, and just understand each other's languages, you can find it's such an easy solution, where all the time that they'd spend arguing and quarreling and stuff, all the husband had to go was come home before everything else, give her a hug. Give her the hug that she wants. Validate her to say, he cares, because that's what he wants. And then she'll show the appreciation for the whole hard day of work and stuff. So it's just a matter of communication, where each one are feeling that they are expressing their love, but the other is not receiving it,
And knowing your love language gives you that communication to explain what's important, to kind of meet your emotional needs. And it's also the insight to figure out what's important to your partner as well, like you're saying, so that you can meet their emotional needs. So it's good to actually have that communication where each one knows what their love language is and how they can mold it and bring it together and use it as a tool for uplifting themselves and improving their relationship.
Absolutely. Because it doesn't really help much, if you like something and you do that for the other when the other maybe is not completely interested, in that thing,
Sister Jamila, we're going to go on to a short ad break. And when we get back, inshallah, we can discuss maybe the aspects of self-love and love to and from our Creator, inshallah. But we can do that after the ad break. And if you could stay on the line with us, we will just go on out for a few minutes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Let's Talk Life. I am your host, Khadija Mohammed. And on today's topic, we are speaking about love. And with us, we have Super Coach Melabi, who is actually taking us through all the aspects of love. And, you know, it's such a vast topic. There's so much that we can say and so much that we can learn about what is love. And as Sister Mila actually mentioned, she spoke to us about the science behind love. And you know that love is actually a science. And from there, we're going to welcome her back onto the show, and she's going to take us further into the aspects of what is so important, I think. And for me, this is the most important aspect of love, which is self-love. And also one of the most important topics of love, actually our relationship with our Creator. So Sister Jamila, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Thank you so much for holding on for us, and welcome back to the show. So what's that, Sister Mila? I think you really explained such and gave us such good pointers in the first part of the show. Maybe we could just step on a little bit about self-love. I think that's a very important aspect of love. That, you know, people go out and search and long for love from everybody else without realizing that it starts inside, it starts within you. And that is the first and most focal point that we should actually concentrate on and actually try and find and define love for ourselves and for our own benefits and happiness. So if you could just tell us a little bit about what is self-love?
Absolutely. I'm sure everybody's heard about or people saying you can't pour from an empty cup. You know, that's exactly what self-love is. It's the same idea when you get on a plane and, you know, the lady says to you, in case of emergency and the oxygen mask falls on, make sure your mask is on before you see to the child or to everybody else next to you. That's basically self-love. Self-love is making sure that the source or the well from which you're drawing is full, because we can't give of something that we do not have. So self-love is, it's the ability to see yourself as flawed and still hold yourself in high regard. You know, it's anything but perfection. It's kind of a union and communion with your higher self as well. You know, understanding and knowing that you're enough at the moment as you are and making peace with that. And appreciating your value. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean all you have to constantly be just treating yourself to this and this and spending on yourself. It's not that. It's more about finding your worth and appreciating yourself. Like if you think of the day from conception, out of 400 trillion, you were the one that came into existence. You know what I mean? So that makes you not even one in a trillion, but you have to feel that you are once in a lifetime. Like in all of life, from the beginning of life to the end of life, there is only one of you. And it's coming to that understanding of that truth that, you know, this is your time, and finding your purpose in your time, like the purpose of your creation. Mm-hmm. And finding that, and when you find self-love, you know, you don't have to pretend to be someone you're not. You know, because in doing so, you never know if the other person actually loves you or not, if you're going to be pretending. So it's just completely wholesomely accepting yourself, taking onus of being our own answer, you know, and not to minimize the emotion of love by believing it can be found in something or someone exterior to us. You know, this is how we unknowingly seek codependency in relationships, you know, when we... seek it in the other. So it's about living each day purposefully, in joy, happiness, and appreciation of the beauty in every moment around us. You know, whether it be with our kids or our spouses or our parents, it's just living in the moment of now. And, you know, absolutely just accepting ourselves. I think that for me is a good definition of self-love.
I don't know about you, Sister Mila, but as a therapist and coaches, and I'm sure you actually come across this a lot of times, that we speak a lot about self-love. But for many people, they don't actually know what self-love means, and they mistakenly believe that self-love is the same as narcissism, you know, or it's something like having this big ego. But in actual fact, it's not. You know, it's not about that. It loving yourself doesn't mean that you think you're the smartest, most talented, and the most beautiful person in the world. But instead, when you love yourself, you accept actually your so-called weaknesses, and you appreciate these so-called shortcomings as something that makes you who you are. That's what you're saying, your purpose. You know, mm-hmm. And when you love yourself, you have this compassion for yourself, and that takes you also to a point of instant gratification, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about narcissism, and I've come across that where people go like, but am I not then being vain? It's almost the conditioning, the conditioning belief that we need that, you know, it's kind of two sides of the same coin, where on the one side, which would be self-love, and on the other side could pretty much be narcissistic behavior or whatever. I think the difference in where the difference comes in is when we understand that who are we attaching ourselves from? You know, how can I love the higher power if I've not loved myself? So it's when surrender of that self-love to the higher power, which we're going to get to in a moment. But it's only once with that attachment that self-love is now not narcissistic, you know. But if we walk around in thinking it's all about me, I guess that would be narcissistic. But that's not the kind of love we're talking about, you know. The type of self-love we're talking about, it's far greater than you can ever imagine. It's just that... understanding that you're full of these amazing qualities, traits, and virtues, and that all of that has been given to you by the one who created you, you know? So it's taking this love of self, you know, looking at yourself, looking at your hands and showing appreciation that, you know, the ability to do all that we've done. And just being that, having, like you've mentioned earlier, adopting that attitude of gratitude for everything you have in your space, and being present in that moment of joy and with our family, that should be love. Like I say, it's not so much the external things we do to ourselves. Oh, no, I went for, a haircut, I went for this, and I went all these exercises. That's not necessarily the deeper acceptance of self.
Yes, and I,
what we're talking about, yeah.
And I also say this to myself now, and even to as a coach to my clients, that self-love actually means giving yourself what your body and your brain and your soul needs. You know, it's like life is a marathon, and we got to run this marathon. So you need to give yourself what internally what you need, and that is like same thing that you're saying. It's within. It's not about going for this haircut.
Yeah,
and
it's not about giving you,
you know, looking
giving
good.
Giving yourself the love that you're seeking
it's
out.
It's your
there,
body,
you know,
and your brain, and what your soul actually needs, you know. And the practice of self-love is the practice of nourishing yourself. So it's just about improving yourself within and nourishing what you need, what your body needs, and what the rest of what you need, what your soul needs. And you know that we can move on to the topic now of love to loving yourself and moving on to the higher power. Sister Mila, tell us a little bit about that. How can we actually create a love and a bond between ourselves and the higher power, which is our creator?
Okay, so let's go from self-love to the higher love. Like I say, self-love when found that attachment to the source of love, you know, which is the heavenly love from our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there is an abundance of love. When we immerse ourselves in this inner peace, we ensure that we are not projecting a lack of it, you know, by expecting the outside world to satiate this imagined emptiness. Which is basically what society, these cultural influences, you know, they tend to impose this obligatory life template on love. Then we saw the illusion of lack. So we taught to seek the one and begin an endless pursuit of a perfect love. When in actual fact, that perfect love and, you know, it's an unfeigned love, an unconditional, a genuine, a sincere love. And that's, when we have the attachment to the source of love, when we are able to connect ourselves with our Creator. You know, we are so grateful to be born in, with our faith and have iman. So we've been taught so many manners and given tools of making this connection, a connection and having the attachment. It's just that, like I said, we haven't got to self-love yet. If you haven't, if you can't give something that you don't have. So basically the first step, if we feel that there's this disconnect and we find it difficult to make that connection and attachment, it's a good place to start with self-love. You know, some of us don't even know what the haven't even realized what the definition of love is. So when we get to understand that, what a great space to start is going into, you know, your mind's eye, and you sit and you like do a meditation or you calm down and you say, you know, what do I feel? What is this love? What makes me feel the emotion of love? And a great space to start is with that. So if it's a person or a thing, it's okay for now. And you say, you know what? My husband or my mother, you know, that stirs the emotion of love in my heart. And start with that emotion, because it's difficult. It's easy for us to say we have love for our Creator, you know, but when we look at if we're looking at love being a verb, it's an action, then salah obviously should be that manifestation of love, the action that shows, you know, I'm doing this for the pleasure of my Lord. That then is the action that we take to show that love that that we have. But in one sense, like I say, it's easy for us to say it, but then we have to look at that action as well. When we look at our action of salah, how many of us actually have that khushu and connection and the actual sila in salah, which is what is needed. And sometimes, sometimes, most probably all the time, it is definitely our own limitations of something within ourselves where we haven't learned to love ourselves first. In order for us to get us to a space where we can surrender that love over to our Creator. So it's not even, you know, especially when we do the coaching, a lot of it, one of the tools we use is we get a person to understand who am I, you know, who are you as an individual outside of your ego or your identity. And then taking this who am I, and then, like I say, surrendering that to whose am I, you know, I am my Lord, I belong to my Creator. And when we understand that concept and saying, you know what, it's even more than who am I, then we find that what Allah wants for us and what He has, you know, said to us as limitations from His side is actually out of love. And then we can get into an alignment of what we love is what He loves for us. And that is a true kind of way to show love. It's not that, oh, you know what, now I can't do this and I can't do that. But the actual expression, the ultimate expression of that love would be you loving what He loves for you, you know? And, you know, we just have such beautiful tools and that we can use. And, you know, Allah says to us also that... It's in the remembrance of Allah that hearts find rest. So if we find that we are uneasy and stuff like that, there's so many beautiful names of Allah that we can turn to and use His names to activate and open up that emotion of love, that so that we can actually experience that emotion. Because like I say, we say it, but the experience of it is something completely different. Because if we truly experience that, we know that our salah, which is the manifestation of what we're saying, should be in complete surrender. It should have complete khushu, because that's what we're saying. You know, that's how I'm expressing my love. There's a beautiful understanding that by Rumi, where he says, if you think of the interaction with someone you love romantically, you know, and you say, well, if I'm going to go see this person that I love, you would go for a good shower and you'd put on your best clothes and you'd put on your best perfume and you'd want to have make this really good impression, and you want to sit with this person, you know, for hours in meaningful conversations. And that would be, you know, saying, oh, well, it's kind of obvious way of saying, oh, well, you can see that you love this person. But then we have to think of that. Is that what we do when we go into our salah? You know, do we take that time out and get ourselves ready and get the understanding that this is a meeting between a lover and his beloved, you know? And the beautiful thing about, you know, the names of Allah is they show a relationship, you know. Yes. A lot of the names will, like refer to a relationship. So like the name Allah is Al-Rab, you know, we are the Abd. Allah is Al-Wahhab, the giver, which implies and indicates that there must be a receiver. But the name Al-Wadud, which is the most loving, the most affectionate, it's both active and passive, which means Allah is both the lover and he's the beloved. You know, he's the one worthy of love, but he's the one that's giving that unconditional, unfeigned love.
And actually, we actually pray to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray to seek this enlightenment from him. You know, and inshallah, you know, Sister Amila, we're actually running out of time and we're going to have to end the program now. We would love to go on for hours, but unfortunately, we do have to carry on with the next part of the show. So with all that, I do thank you for sharing with us all your insights of love. And you know, this last part of the program was especially important and very special for us, because it actually teaches us about growing and that our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his love for us is unconditional. So thank you so much for bringing that to surface for us. It was lovely to have you on as a guest on our show, and we look forward to having you back with us soon, inshallah.
Absolutely.
Jazakallah so much. Enjoy the rest of Ramadan. Have a blessed
you
Eid,
too.
Inshallah.
And I'd like to end off by expressing my love by saying, inni uhibbuka fillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Jamila. It was a pleasure having you on my show. And there you have it, my dear listeners, some emotional words on love. And as you've heard, love is not just the gunshot of signaling that race that has begun, nor is it a feeling of crossing the finishing line. Love is the race. It's the journey itself. So a very big thank you to you, my dear listeners, for giving me your time on today's show. Do join us again next week, same time, as we share some remarkable content just for you. Remember, this show is for you. It's about you, for your betterment, for your peace, and for creating the best version of yourself. Have a blessed evening. Inshallah. Ameen. And remember us all in your fervent du'as. Stay safe. Stay blessed.